Chapter 20. The motor stops. They were hardly able to realize their escape. That is, all but Washington. He took it as a matter of course. How did it come about? Asked Jack.
It's hard to say, replied Mr. Rauman. I couldn't steer away from the comet, but it's probably just as well that I could not. It seems that the mass of queer light attracted us to it, but to a certain section, where we came to no harm. And we must have gone through it at an angle, or we would have been much longer within its influence.
Can we see the comet? Asked Mark.
There it is, replied the German. Only it doesn't look as a comet does when you view it from the Earth.
We are too close to it. They looked from the side window of the projectile. Far off appeared to be a great mass of clouds, except that instead of being white, the mass was colored with many hues. It was so vast in extent that they could see neither the beginning nor the ending of it.
Our first comet, remarked Jack.
And I hope our last, added Mark.
Yes, indeed, interjected Mr. Rauman.
Now I think we will slow down the motor somewhat. We must save some of the energy for our return trip, though I have a large surplus.
Still, we cannot be too careful.
Are we once more headed for Mars? Asked Mark.
Yes, we are pointing directly toward it.
Perhaps you boys will go and slow down the motor while Professor Henderson and I make some scientific notes concerning the comet. It will be great information to the astronomers on Earth. Many of their theories will be changed, I fancy.
Jack and Mark started for the engine room. They passed through the living or dining room, where Washington was setting the table for dinner.
What I done told you? He demanded triumphantly.
Scared ob no ole comet.
That's right, Wash, admitted Mark.
You had one on us that time.
Andy Suds was in one corner of the room, oiling his gun.
Getting ready to go hunting? Asked Jack.
Well, I heard Mr. Rauman say we'd be on Mars in a few days, replied the old man, and if there's any game there I want to get a shot at it.
That's right, said Jack.
I guess I'll take.
He got no further.
From the engine room there sounded a tremendous racket, as if someone was pounding on the machinery with a big hammer.
What's that? Cried Mark.
Something's happened to the motor, exclaimed Jack.
Going too fast.
Come on.
They ran to the engine room.
The sight that met their eyes was a startling one.
Standing with his back to them was a strange man. Over his head he was swinging a sledgehammer, which he brought down with great force upon the Ethereum motor.
I'll smash it.
I'll stop this machine.
Bottom of the universe.
The man was muttering.
Quit that, cried Jack, springing forward.
The man paused and turned.
The crazy machinist, shouted Jack.
To pieces.
That's what I will, replied the infuriated man.
Voyage now.
Once more he brought his hammer down on the machine, and the motor, with a hissing of gas and a shower of sparks, stopped working.
Jack and Mark were brave lads. They sprang upon the man, though he was large and strong, and his strength was added to by his insane fury.
In an instant they were in the midst of a fierce fight. The maniac tossed them aside, as if they were mere infants, but they returned to the attack.
They sought to hold his arms, to prevent him from doing any further damage with the hammer.
Fortunately for the lads, the man was forced to drop the weapon, to enable him to grapple with his two assailants.
Can you hold him? Cried Mark.
Not very well, panted Jack, as his grip of the man's arms was broken, and he was flung across the room.
Help! Help!
Here!
Washington and Andy, in the living room, heard the yells of the boys.
They rushed to the scene, and, taking in the situation at a glance, flung themselves upon the unfortunate man, aiding the boys in holding him.
Even their strength was not sufficient, and it was not until Mr. Rauman, leaving Professor Henderson in charge of the pilot house, had come up, that they were able to secure the maniac. He was quickly bound with ropes and placed in the storeroom as a prisoner, while the German turned his whole attention to the motor, a part of which had been broken. Once more the Annihilator had ceased to advance and was falling through space. "Can you fix it?" anxiously asked Jack, who was panting from the terrible struggle. "Yes," replied Mr. Rauman. "Fortunately, he did not smash a vital part. I will soon have it running again." In less than half an hour, the motor was repaired and was speeding the projectile on its way. It was not set at the greatest power, however, as Mr. Rauman did not want to put too much strain upon it. "Now I have time to inquire how it happened," he said to the boys. "Tell me about it." They related how they had come upon the crazy machinist. "Then he has been hidden on board all the while," commented the German. "I was not mistaken in thinking someone opened that port after I closed it. He sneaked in here the night before we started, and has been waiting his chance to do us some damage. It was he who smashed the plates." "But where could he have concealed himself?" asked Jack. "I don't know. We'll see if he will tell us." They went to the storeroom, where the maniac was bound. "Why did you try to damage my machinery?" asked Mr. Rauman. "Because it is an infringement on my patent," was the surprising answer. "I invented a perpetual motion machine for making dog biscuits, and you have used it to make your airship go. Therefore I smashed it. I have the sole right to make dog biscuits for the king of the Cannibal Islands. I'm his private secretary." "He is hopelessly insane," murmured Jack.
"I fear so," agreed Mr. Rauman. Then he asked, "Where have you been hiding?"
"Ah, I fooled you, all right," said the man with a cunning laugh. "It was just like a game of hide and seek to watch you hunting for me and me looking at you all the while."
"Ha, ha. A good place. Where was it?" asked Mr. Rauman soothingly.
"Right up there," answered the machinist, pointing to the roof of the storeroom. The German made an investigation and discovered a small compartment where it had been intended to make a port, but the idea for which had not been carried out. This left a space in the wall of the projectile, large enough for a man to conceal himself in. No one would suspect he was there.
"I sneaked on board one night," went on the man. "I managed to open a port into the storeroom. And I lived high, I can tell you. Golly! He's been at my kitchen stuff."
"Did that other man come aboard with you?" asked Jack.
"Referred to the tramp who had peered in the window of the professor's house?"
"No. He's been elected King of France," was the answer.
"To go over there to get his crown fitted on. I'm all alone here. A few minutes more, and I would have smashed that engine."
"I guess you would," responded Mr. Rauman.
"Well, we'll take good care that you do not get loose again."
The bonds of the maniac were made more secure, and Washington White was told to keep close watch over him. It was the day after this occurrence, though Jack and Mark had not gotten over talking about it, that they were in the pilot house with Professor Henderson. The projectile was speeding along rapidly, and from calculations that had been made, it was believed they would arrive at Mars in about 2 days.
"I'll be glad of it," said Jack.
"I want a chance to stretch my legs."
"And grow lighter," added Mark.
"You're fatter than ever since you began this trip."
"That's because I don't have any exercise. But I'll make up for it. I understand that on Mars one can jump twice as far as he can on the Earth, due to the less dense atmosphere."
"Well, we'll soon see," said Mark. Mr. Henderson suddenly bent over one of the indicators. He pressed a lever, turned a wheel, and then exclaimed, "The Ethereum motor has stopped working again. I wonder if the maniac is loose."
"We'll see," cried Jack, as he and Mark hurried toward the engine room. They found Mr. Rauman there.
"The motor has stopped," exclaimed Jack.
"I know it. Has there been an accident?"
"No."
"What's the matter, then?"
"We have completed our journey through the ether. The motor will only work in that."
"And that means," began Mark,
"that we have reached the atmosphere of Mars," exclaimed Mr. Rauman in triumph. through space to Mars by Rockwood.